Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. Let's dig in. Angela, what is the hot topic for this week?
Well, today's discussion centers on something that actually might sound quite simple, but it can ultimately make or break your chances in the hiring process, and that is following directions. Now, hang in there with me, guys. Y'all don't tune out, because this applies to all candidates. Because as a, you know, I've sat in this recruiting chair for a long time, and I think the team is going to be able to relate to you today that we see time and time again that candidates overlook critical steps. And it could be something simple like completing a pre-qualification form, filling out the therapeutic area tables, submitting accurate references. I mean, it could be a whole host of things. And too often candidates, either they are just not paying close attention, maybe they don't realize that these steps matter. But every request we make has a purpose. They're not just boxes to check, and the details demonstrate your professionalism, your attention to detail, and, you know, it helps us to translate your skills to the clients that we trust, and so it's really, really important. So what we're going to talk about today are some specific tips, insights, examples, et cetera, that can help you as job seekers become a little more buttoned up whenever you're going through anyone's application process.
Love it. This could seem simple, but it's actually really profound. So yes. Stay with us. Do we want to start with the beginning of the process when you engage with us, the beginning of our pipeline process? Any of our sourcers want to chime in?
We sure do want to start there. Let me tell you guys, I have thoughts, and I really appreciate that sometimes filling out a form when you're like, hey, my resume has all my details on it. It's got my employment experience. It's got everything I need. And I get that. I appreciate that. But there are details that aren't included on your resume through no fault of your own that we want to know more about. We want to know about your technology experience. We want to know about your therapeutics. What's your desired rate range? Like, I want to know all the nitty gritty. Give me all the good stuff. Tell me all about you. But the amount of times that I have to go back and say, hey, you didn't do this one part of the form. Hey, this part isn't there. Hey, this part isn't there. Particularly our therapeutic table, which I have many times had to go back about and say, hey, do you only have experience in one therapeutic? Because you only listed one. And I assume with 15 plus years of experience as a CRA, maybe you have another one hanging around somewhere. Maybe. I'm not here to judge. And then insult to injury is that the first word on your resume, the first way you describe yourself is, I am detail oriented. And I'm like, are you? Are you? Because I have my questions now. And this isn't like a big rag. Like, I get it. These forms can be long. And sometimes you're, you know, after a long day, it can feel like a lot. And I totally get that. And I'm not here to judge. Like, we all make mistakes too. We all miss little things. Like, oh my gosh. This is not meant to be a rant about that. You know, we're all human at the end of the day, but it is a point of being like, you're bringing your best self forward. What is that best version of yourself? Mm-hmm. And, you know, who do you want to be? I always think of it too, like, it's like blind dating. I have a friend. I'd like to set my friend up with you, but you're not giving me a good impression. I would like to give you the date with my friend, which is my client. So help me do that. Let's be friends. Let's do that together. I would love nothing more for you to be the love of my client's life.
Yeah. And to be fair, we are a specialty recruitment firm. Most professionals don't work with niche specialty recruiting firms. I mean, the CRA role is our bread and butter. That is our primary focus for the role that we place. So a lot of other recruiting shops don't ask for this detail because they don't know as much about the role, and they don't have as many topics and specialties that they want to know and they want to give to the client. Our clients expect this detail from us because we've cultivated these relationships and we know this role inside and out. So we're going to ask you for a lot of detail because our clients are wanting this detail because we represent the best of the best. So we'd love to work with you, but we're going to need that from you, and other firms may not ask for that. So we understand if you want to go the easy route, there are plenty of other firms that don't ask for that stuff, but they don't have the client relationships that we do, and they don't know this role inside and out like we do.
And the really great thing about what we ask for at the front, because Maya's right, I mean, in that therapeutic table, a lot of people will come back and really push back and say, it's on my resume. You may have a beautiful table of therapeutics on your resume, but we ask deeper questions than that. How many years you've done it, how long ago it's been, the phases of therapeutics in each area, et cetera. And the reason that we ask that is, to Becky's point, you know, you might be applying to an oncology position, but we may have a diabetes study going on that's not even posted yet. Or perhaps we've got a small boutique CRO that's looking for a bench, or, you know, a bioequivalent study somewhere, et cetera, et cetera. And you just don't see that. You don't see it posted. So if you give us that information when we talk to you, we're going to talk to you about everything that you may qualify for. So providing us all that information that we're requesting has a purpose. It has a really good reason. And it opens up your opportunities a lot.
And for future opportunities as well. Mm-hmm. While we may not have a diabetes study today, we could a month from now, and you could still be seeking additional work. And mm-hmm. Don't make us have to dig deep and find you, because we've got a lot of candidates in our database. And you'll pull up a lot quicker if you have the therapeutics and you have the details listed.
You told us about them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. My phrase is, help me help you. That's my go-to phrase. I say it to my children. I say it to my husband. I'll say it to everybody that I work with here at my chair at work. Help me help you. So if you have questions when I'm explaining to you next steps, like a reference check, ask the questions. If you feel like, yeah, you know what, I haven't had contact with my site, I had to give my laptop, I had to do, you know, talk to me about it. I can give you suggestions. Reach out to the site. Try to get their main number. Go on LinkedIn versus just shutting the door and then coming back to me or to the reference check team saying, hey, sorry, can't do that, but I can do this. No. You're not following directions. You're not communicating with me. You're not letting me help you. So that's another big one that I see a lot, where I'm interviewing them. I tell them the next steps, and they don't say anything as far as questions or concerns they may have regarding the next step, which is usually reference check. And then you get an email back from them, or you get something that's not complete, or something that we're not asking for. And it's just, it's not a good look. It's just not a good look. Not a good look, guys. Follow directions.
I know members of our team have stuff to say on the reference check process, that part of our pre-qualification process that a lot of firms don't do up front, that we do to represent you for positions. Team, what you got on the references process?
We have such a great references process where we can get your references contacted and called and move you through the process within a couple days, if you follow the directions properly in the email. One, I've seen candidates get qualified within a couple days. I've also seen candidates take a couple months to get their references back. But either way, it really just is important, because we already have a lot of candidates that have already been through the reference process, and that's who, you know, we're looking at them. So it's really helpful for you to follow the directions. We ask for 2 to 3 supervisor references, 2 to 3 site references. I have a lot of people only submit 1 manager reference or 1 site reference. At that point, I do have to push back in an email saying, hi, the email instruction said 2 to 3, and you only submitted 1, we're going to need at least 1 more. Or we also sometimes see people that don't give me any contact information, like no phone number or no email. And to me, that's kind of silly, because I'm like, how are we supposed to contact them unless you don't want us to? So it kind of feels like, to me, like you're just kind of submitting something to submit something, when this is like actually a really serious, like, make or break part of our process, getting you qualified. You know, this isn't McDonald's, you know, we're not just asking for like a few references and, you know, it's your mom or like your buddy you worked for or anything. Like, this is a really, this is a really, really important professional reference check for everyone. So do it following our directions and just not having to push back in emails, because that can take another few days. By the time, you know, you get back to me and your references are contacted, the job might be closed. So
that's a key point. And I don't think folks really understand that. And I know Rachel's going to talk a little bit more about the upfront sourcing work, but a half of a day delay could mean that dozens or hundreds of people are now in front of you. And so providing the information that's requested right up front can make a huge difference, not just because you're not qualified, but because of where you are in queue. I mean, can we even get to you now because of everybody else that we're already looking at? And it's unfortunate to miss out on an opportunity because of something really silly like that. Whenever, if you just follow the directions and provided the information up front, it makes you a top candidate, not just because you're now exhibiting those detailed oriented traits that Maya talked about, but because you're further up in queue.
Mm-hmm. And the phrase, I'm sorry, Rachel, I'm just going to add something here that mentioned of not a lot of companies, or sometimes candidates will say, well, I usually provide my references after. Not a lot of companies ask for them before. That's baloney. Because my husband, a few years ago when he was applying for some jobs, they were asking for references at the application, and it had to be from your last completed employments and things like that. So, sorry, I just had to add in there. That's not very common nowadays, where it was after the fact. Like, there are companies and I don't know about recruiting agencies, but I know companies that do ask for references prior to you getting the interview.
And even if they don't, I don't really care what everybody else does.
Right.
We are good. We are really good. And we're good because we only represent the highest quality candidates. And when we're representing a CRA, we're not just representing that CRA for one position. We're representing that CRA across every client that they might fit, which is why we require references up front. It's not so that the oncology sponsor will approve you. It's so that our firm will approve you, because we go after it once we agree to represent you. And it's important to us to be able to have those references up front, because our brand is everything. If we suck at providing CRAs to our clients, we're not going to be in business very long. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why we check those references up front, because we only deal with the best. So
it's hard to be somebody else's advocate when they won't be their own advocate.
Agreed.
We can only help you so much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Well, reference can really be a bottleneck for your vetting process if you are not following, you know, directions. And part of the instruction is that you must contact your references to alert them to the fact that they will be reaching out, as we don't want them to be surprised when they hear about from us. A lot of times it's either we're not getting responses from your references, or they're saying that due to company policy, they're not able to provide reference for you. Wherein they're coming from big companies that we get a lot of references from. So it's either you did not tell them that you want them to be a reference, or they don't have something nice to say about you. So it is very important to choose the right person that you trust, that will give you, you know, good impression, good references. Otherwise, you're just setting up yourself for a failure.
Go have a transparent discussion with them. Say, will you be my reference, and what will you say about me? You know, and because there's a lot of passive aggressive people. I think there's references that agreed to be references, and then they tell us really horrible things whenever we get on the phone with them. Or they're passive aggressive and they don't come back and schedule time. And so I would agree with you, Rachel. I think candidates, you guys, if you're asked to provide references, don't just throw names out. Don't ever include a list of references on your resume. And just, you know, have the conversation. Becky, would you be my reference? If here's the job that I'm looking at, you know, can you speak to my ability to do ABC? Do you say good things about me? Any concerns you have? Because if she says, Angela, I just don't think I could talk about your leadership skills because I think you're loud and shouty. I don't think that's going to work, right? So at least I know that, and I can go ask someone else. I think it's important discussions to have.
Jenny, you had some thoughts about what it might mean during the reference process overall, and what this might say about you to us through this process.
Yes, definitely. If you're following directions, that also demonstrates to us how you're going to follow directions in your job as well. So if you're not able to, you know, fill out a simple form correctly or provide references correctly, how are you going to follow instructions in a job that's much more complicated and difficult? And if you're not reading the instructions, does that mean you're also not going to read the protocol very carefully when you're actually, you know, in the CRA role? And, you know, if we're having to chase you to get things done correctly, does that mean your manager is going to have to chase you to get reports and deliverables back correctly? But on the other hand, we also get candidates who do those things very well. And we're actually very impressed when we get someone who they follow all the directions exactly right. They get everything to us quickly. So those, you know, you want to be that type of candidate where we can say to the hiring manager, wow, we're very impressed with this candidate. This is one of our top choices based on our, you know, what we've seen from them and our relationship with them.
That's a really good point. And Carrie and I do that whenever we send people over. This person is one of the most buttoned up candidates I've seen in a really long time. You have got to talk to her.
Those are my favorites to send
mine
over.
Mine too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you just need to go ahead and hire this one.
Yeah.
They've been wonderful through the whole process.
She's fabulous. Yeah.
And to that point, we have a big process. You know, our clients trust that. They, you know, usually when we get you over to the client and they pick you and they interview you, it's yours to lose a lot of times. So, you know, we have a big process because our clients trust that we're doing the upfront vetting for them, right? So you're already getting through a lot of the client's vetting process, getting through our vetting process. So that's something to consider. And also, once you get selected to interview with a particular client for a particular position, make sure that you're following directions there too. You know, we have things to have to do before the interview. We might have a prep session with you. You know, you've got to get us your availability in a timely manner. A lot of our clients, sign a CDA or any specialty paperwork that client needs specifically. You never know. And our clients, a lot of times they move quickly. You know, we submit them someone, they say, great, same day. I want to interview them. How about tomorrow? You know, because they're just so excited to get the people that we send over. So you've got to be on the spot. You've got to get us your availability ASAP. So as soon as you fill out the paperwork that allows us to submit you to a job, definitely stay in your emails, stay on your phone. We will even text you. You know, the folks that wait a whole day to come back about interviews, you might miss out on that interview scheduling because you weren't on top of it. So make sure that you're also on top of it when you get to interview stage as well.
I think that there's just a handful of takeaways. First of all, the application process, to Natalie's point, Natalie always says this, is that, you know, your agency, or if you're you know, applying directly to a large company and you're dealing with their corporate sourcers or recruiters, they are an extension. And so what you're showing them is what they're imagining you're going to show the hiring teams or your operations managers whenever you're on board. So be present. Take it seriously. Consider the steps. Be focused, you know, be thorough, actually be that detail oriented person that you're representing that you are on your resume, because I think it's important. I think the other thing too is that individuals need to know is whenever an organization requires you to complete an application form that may duplicate some of the information on your resume, the resume is not a legal document. And so if you falsify something on your resume, you don't necessarily go to jail for it. Although there are some states that will put you into jail or fine you if you misrepresent your education. But I think that's the only thing that I'm aware of. Doesn't mean there's not anything out there. But I think overall, resume is technically not considered a legal document, even though it shouldn't be a false document. It should not be a false novel. But with that being said, once you input your information into an HR system, you input your information into a company's applicant tracking system or their portal or their forms, now we're talking legal ramifications if you falsified something. And so that's a lot of the reasons why companies have you duplicate that information. And I had an individual I was coaching this week that said, you know, they were asking for education, and he worked towards a master's but didn't complete it. But he wanted to get credit for that. And so he was unable to put that into their portal because they required the degree earned and the date, and he hadn't earned the degree and the date. So there might be some issues with their portal. Make a note of it. Submit a cover letter to explain where there might be discrepancies between your resume and the portal if their portal is so stringent that it doesn't allow those variables. But this, again, requires you to be present and to pay attention to what information you're being asked for and that you're providing and how it lines up with everything else that you're representing on your resume, your cover letter, and your LinkedIn profile.
I think it is. It's a lot like dating. Are you really interested in being part of this family? Because this is what it is. I mean, our employers take up such a large part of our lives to where we know each other. I mean, I've been working with this team for almost 11 years, and I know most of your lives as much as we can connect after we're talking business. So make sure you're taking the time to impress the company that's wanting to invite you to be part of their family. Sure. So, and as one of the final decision makers on whether candidates move forward, I want to be direct. The team isn't just venting. They're trying to set these candidates up for success. So when you're going through the hiring process, it's crucial to be at the top of your game. Mm-hmm. Because as we said, if you can't follow basic steps like completing qualification forms or providing references, it raises questions about whether or not we're going to be able to trust you in this position. Mm-hmm. So yeah. There's the reason for the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So we want to help you succeed, but I mean, help us help you. As Natalie says.
Say my phrase, Gary.
Say your phrase. Help us help you. So,
because we want to.
Yeah,
exactly. We want to hire you. Believe me, if I can hire every candidate that comes through our portal today, I can take the weekend off. Honest to God, I would love to have a weekend off.
We spent a lot of work trying to help you succeed.
We want to hire you, right? So we want you to do what you know, to follow the directions, because we do. We want to hire you. And our hiring managers want to hire you. All of our ops managers want to hire you. They do, because then they can get back to business. So
they've got positions to fill. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why are they even waiting? Because I get it. You're wasting our time, but you're also wasting your time.
Yeah.
Why are you putting people through the process of, and then not completing the process?
Yeah.
So just.
And then lamenting over the 1,700 applications you've provided that you've.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, well, all you got to do is come back to me and tell me you want to be submitted. You'd have had that job, but it took you a week to do that. Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just, this is very serious, but it's very minor. Don't, you guys that are listening, it's a lot more serious than you think, but it's so easy. Easy's good. Just go do it. Just do it.
Well, on that note, thank you so much, team, for this discussion. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you all out there listening. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit creresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox, and feel free to reach out at creresources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.